Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Spencer Latu Show on CITR 101.9 FM, and I'm your host, Spencer Latu. This is a politics and current event show broadcasting live from unceded Musqueam territory on UBC's Point Grey campus. I would like to acknowledge that the land on which we gather is the unceded territory of the Coast Salish peoples, including the territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh nations. And with that, this is a good time to reflect on colonization, colonialism, imperialism, arguably, or at least I would argue, all the factors that have brought us to the brink of climate collapse, which is what got me into politics, really started my political activism, but has also led to my largest political struggle, which is the fakery that passes as activism or as progressive politicians. So for today's episode, I will be discussing Canada's Squad. So this really cursed content passed across my Twitter timeline about the NDP, the New Democratic Party in Canada, getting a social democratic party, more or less, getting creating their own squad. And of course, whenever I hear the squad, I can't help but think of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, Ina Presley, and Rashida Tlaib, all congresswomen from the United States, and all that are big fakes. They exist to completely dupe people into thinking that through their Now This videos and their Twitter feeds that they really are progressive fighters. But if you just look at their voting records, all of them vote for funding Israeli apartheid of Palestine. They vote for funding the regime change all across the world, whether it's Venezuela or Syria. They vote for every military budget. So it's more or less the same. And in fact, if you go on the congressional website, you can kind of see who's to the left or who's to the right. And it turns out that AOC, who's marketed by The Intercept, of course, being a fake news service paid for by Pierre Omidyar, the eBay founder and billionaire, as a firebrand progressive, but in reality, she votes to the right. She is, you know, more conservative, more of a right winger than Nancy Pelosi, the person that everybody lines up to take shots at. But in reality, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is just a younger but more ghoulish version of Nancy Pelosi. So this saga has been going on since 2018, I guess, when she got elected in the midterm elections and knocked out a longtime I can't even remember his name anymore. But yeah, basically knocks out a long time. Well, I guess to the left of the Democratic Party for the time. He's a liberal, certainly not a progressive. So she wins the seat. What happens next is everybody, she gets this massive Twitter following, completely explodes. Ah, yes, preceded by Joe Crowley. So, yeah, so she knocks out Joe Crowley. And, as somebody that recently got into politics, I mean, since 2016, I haven't really been following politics before that. The Intercept, Democracy Now, the usual suspects for fake left news come out and say how great she is. And then, of course, her most famous piece of legislation is the Green New Deal. So, and anyone that's been following me discussing politics knows how I feel about the Green New Deal. That is a complete, it's total garbage, complete eco-fascism. It'll basically be the end of what we've come to know as nature, or even what we've thought of as society. As it's really going to change things in such a drastic way, which is why I think the reason why the ruling class has opted for a fake left rather than a more openly fascistic right, as in the case of Ronald Reagan. Instead of being a very explicitly right-wing revolution, it's instead coming under the false pretenses of democratic socialism. So in the last 2 weeks since I did the last show, we had a Canadian federal election. I called it. Humble brag. Justin Trudeau has a minority government, but that, of course, puts the New Democratic Party in the balance of power, which I think personally plays out pretty much to script of how the Green New Deal and all the ecofascism that comes along with it will be enacted is that, you know, you have a very stalwart center left, I guess, for Canadian politics. Liberals, they make a lip service to center right, and we'll say, for lack of a better term, the New Democratic Party is center left. And with that coalition, that should be enough to kind of to run Canadian Parliament. And as we're seeing in the case of the NDP, the NDP are pretty openly, for those who know what to look for, are being co-opted by the environmental NGOs, the massive billion dollar foundation started by the oil barons. They're very it's very clearly the messaging has gone on that script now. So rather than being, of course, a labor party, something that represents working class people's needs, this is instead a very clearly bougie kind of just pseudo liberal activism, but which is really really eaten up by the upper class. And as you can look in the pictures, these people who call themselves grassroots organizers and have rose emojis in their Twitter names, it looks like that kind of crowd is being attracted by the NDP. So the reason why I'm saying this, you can see this in APTN. This is from October 29th, 2019. The headline reads, Winnipeg MP elect part of Green New Deal squad heading to Ottawa. So this is written by Clayton Thomas Mueller, special to APTN News. The article reads, this week, the 43rd Canadian general election happened, and young people from coast to coast from the Our Time campaign are celebrating victory. 8 Green New Deal champions have been elected and are heading to Parliament to push for climate legislation over the next 4 years. They are Jenny Kwan, Nikki Ashton, Matthew Green, Daniel Balaiki, Alexandre Boularis, Peter Julian, Don Davies, and Leah Gazin, all members of the NDP. So all those, for those who are not familiar with Canadian politics, Jenny Kwan's been around forever. Nikki Ashton has had a pretty successful career up until this point. She's won a couple elections. Don Davies has been around forever. Leah Gazin is a new person, but they focus on Leah Gazin in this article. She's Indigenous. Yeah, so that's why APTN gave extra Aboriginal people's national news. So, you know, they looked into her specifically. But some notes about Nikki Ashton. So Nikki Ashton is a Northern Manitoba member of Parliament. She's part of the Sanders Institute. So Bernie Sanders, obviously a massive proponent of the Green New Deal. So, you know, that in itself, just the ties to the to the fake lefts in America should tell you all you need to know about her. But moving on to Leah Gazin. So Gazin defeated Liberal incumbent and pipeline proponent Robert Falcon Ouellet. Canada needs a fearless champion in our parliament to shatter the narrative the Liberals have been selling Canadians that we need to buy pipelines and expand the tar sands to pay for the transition off of fossil fuels. Canada needs our own version of firebrand U.S. congressional leader Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and I believe that Leah Gazin could be it. She is a fiercely proud First Nations woman with deep roots in her community and dedicated to a strong, science-based, intersectional approach to building a Green New Deal for Canada. Okay, so a lot to unpack there. So as you can see already, especially keeping, you know, the Greta Thunberg campaign in mind, I mean, for me, this unfortunately came a little bit too close to home, because on last Friday in Vancouver, Greta had a rally and 10,000 people showed up, which just shows how many people can uncritically, you know, kind of drink this Kool-Aid of just this absurd story that, you know, really shouldn't pass the sniff test for anybody who, you know, like works a 9-to-5 or has made it this far in life, you know, hasn't walked off a cliff. I mean, it's not, if anyone's ever tried to have a protest, you don't just get, you know, global wall-to-wall coverage of yourself. And, you know, you have Bill Gates tweeting his support for you. That's not how reality works, everybody. Right. So I point to Greta Thunberg because you can see, you know, in this article, a strong science base, you know, what's Greta's catchphrase, you know, unite behind the science. What did she put on the solar powered yacht with the sustainability goals logo and the Gates Foundation? The yacht itself was owned by, I kid you not, the Rothschild family. So that's the ruling class connections there. You know, unite behind the science. And of course that, you know, it's saying, oh, I'm above politics. But of course, you know, being apolitical is a political decision. And in their in this specific instance, being apolitical or uniting behind the science means to go with the global Green New Deal, right? So, you know, in these articles where Greta's talking about it, Naomi Klein, another big left activist who is a total fake. I mean, Naomi Klein, she's from Canada. So, of course, fellow Canadians know we can't get enough of her on the fake left media here. But she... Her whole rise to superstardom happened after her This Changes Everything book/movie, and of course, you know, the least scrupulous family decided to promote it, the Rockefeller family, you know, the original oil barons of Standard Oil, which then became ExxonMobil. So, I mean, why is it that these oil barons are interested in Naomi Klein? Well, it turns out that the Rockefellers are the first people to start off the divestment campaign. So much like when Standard Oil was broken up initially, it seems that a similar strategy is happening where, you know, oh, if everybody just divests from fossil fuels, everything will be okay. But of course, you know, selling all that off is just going to make the people who own that stuff even richer, which is the ploy. It's fake left, fake green, fake environmentalism to make people feel like they're doing something, but in reality, they're just helping Wall Street. So back to the global Green New Deal. As myself and many people have been lied to by people representing this new group, Our Time, which is created from 350.org. I noticed all the 350.org affiliated people I knew get immediately involved in Our Time. So, you know, this is no surprise to me, at least. Our Time, so fund and who created 350.org. It's Rockefeller Foundation as well. So as you can see, a lot of you can see how it really keeps the oil barons at the top of this whole fake left, fake green, fake environmental movement that's happening right now. Gazan, of course, you got to throw in intersectional. That's intersectional, I think, is also falling by the wayside. It looks like decolonization or decoloniality or something will replace it as the most meaningless word and has been completely stripped of all of its revolutionary potential. And so I'm surprised they didn't try that in there. But yeah, it's just trying to build the brand here. They also mentioned that she has deep roots in her community, and there is an about page for her on her website, and her activism isn't very long-standing. I mean, she was born in this 1973, I want to say, just looking over her Wikipedia, and really hasn't been active in any left circles. I've never heard of her, obviously, but now that she's, you know, pushing the ruling class agenda, a global Green New Deal, obviously, now there's a ton of coverage for her. So why do I oppose the global Green New Deal? Spencer, haven't you heard? The Green New Deal is great. Bernie Sanders wants it. AOC wants it. Ilhan Omar wants it. Greta Thunberg wants it. Well, here's the problem. The Green New Deal. The Green New Deal, and I keep adding global to it, because when I was researching this, you go on the UN Environment page and you can find, you search the Green New Deal, and there it is from 2009. The global Green New Deal. So it was another ploy alongside, I guess maybe at the time they were deciding whether or not the bank bailouts would go as planned, whether or not everyone would, you know, bail out the banks and that would go well. And if that didn't work, they could try an environmental kind of, an environmental way of selling a massive transfer of wealth from the working class to the ruling class. But instead, I guess it was shelved for the next decade. So now it's back 10 years later. And of course, you know, these Our Time white activists, NGO employees, liberals, they do this weird mental gymnastics where this is a grassroots thing. They held a Green New Deal town halls all across Canada. And I guess they just expect people not to bother to research this, not to even look on YouTube. I mean, I went down this rabbit hole looking for more information about just searching Green New Deal. And then boom, what popped up in front of me, a UN Environment video called The Global Green New Deal from 2009. I was very confused. What? That doesn't make sense. I thought this was grassroots organizers, you know, people organizing or, I don't don't know, holding town halls. But no, it's completely AstroTurf. It's not grassroots. Totally fake. And if you want to read more about the fakery that goes into it, this is a massive campaign. I've touched on it before. You can listen to my back catalog. I highly recommend it. But the number one resource I cannot recommend enough, Corey Morningstar, the Art of Annihilation blog. Check it out. The Wrong Kind of Green Collective. That work is indispensable. You need it because it's not going to make sense until you can see the long trajectory that brought us here. You can't understand the fakery of Greta Thunberg if you don't understand the fakery of Greta Thunberg and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez if you don't understand the co-optation of Standing Rock. You can't understand the current environmental crisis and what I would argue is the tipping point for environmentalism when Sepra Berman, Greenpeace, Stand.Earth sold out the tar sands protectors and the indigenous communities fighting against the tar sands, because of course the tar sands massive, one of the world's largest emitters of carbon dioxide, a very energy intensive way of getting oil. It's dirty oil. It's causing all types of political problems, but of course those political problems are seized upon by the fake environmental organizations that they either do the similar strategy in Standing Rock where they say no to the Dakota Access Pipeline, but of course ignore other pipelines that are being built right next to it, and of course ignore one of their funders, Warren Buffett, and his crude via rail empire. So once again, read Art of Annihilation. It's all there, and it'll give you a much better perspective on how the fakery has happened up to this point. But as far as the Global Green New Deal, so other reasons why to oppose it and why this is not in any way, shape, or form socialist. It is not even liberal. It is fascist, because basically what the Green New Deal proposes is that through and this is brought up by Naomi Wolf, and she does good work as well. Check her out, where she just reads the bill and brings up a great point that this is just a House resolution. It's not even legislation. It's not like the Clean Air Act where you could read what is going to be done. It's just actually just giving kind of a blank check and a framework of to do these things. So of course it's to do things for quote unquote to give to make a deal with nature or whatever kind of weird phrasing it is. But in reality, it's giving kind of a blank check to these fake lefts to spend whatever money is necessary. I mean, the figure that's being put out there by the Atlantic Council, the figure that's being put out there by the Green New Deal proponents is to spend $100 trillion on this, on these projects of, for climate change, right? And so what are these? This is carbon capture and underground storage, which is only the only reason why it's even this technology is being pursued is because of its potential for enhanced oil recovery. So when oil wells are depleted and nothing can come out of them anymore, by putting the captured carbon back into these wells, there can be even more oil taken out of it. So that's, classic fake left, fake green strategy there to just, give people pretend like, oh, we're going to stop carbon emissions by taking it out of the sky, but we're going to get more oil out of it at the same time. And of course, I just think about it. How are you going to build these thousands of plants that would, of carbon capture plants that would be required to take all the carbon out, because the U.S. military is burning through carbon, everybody's burning through just putting carbon back out into the air. So it makes absolutely no sense. And of course, zero emission vehicles are another big thing with these people. Zero emission vehicles, where all those rare earth minerals are going to come from? Well, it's the same place. It's the same materials needed also for solar panels, for windmills, and all the really great ideas that are put out by these fake greens. Where is that all going to come from? Well, it's going to come from Africa. It's going to come from Congo. It's going to come from these resource-rich countries. And it'll also come from Bolivia. One of the world's largest reserves of cobalt are in Bolivia. So make no mistake, there's also a quote-unquote environmental panic, hashtag SOS Bolivia, and people need to overthrow Evo Morales because apparently he's allowing Bolivia to die, which is complete imperialist propaganda. And Bolivia's leader Evo Morales has done more for fighting climate change than any other Western world leader has ever done, because he actually set out an actual climate change plan, which was of course neutralized by people such as Naomi Klein and other fake environmentalists, which you can read all about on Corey Morningstar's blog. So once again, cannot recommend it enough. And finally, Another quote-unquote climate change solution is and you can read in the Green New Deal, highly recommend reading that House resolution, the U.S. can be a global leader in green technology, and it can sell it to other countries. So, you know, what is that more or less? This is just another type of literal green imperialism where the United States exploits countries under the guise of being green. So it's really just completely insane proposals that will do nothing, obviously, for the environment. It'll destroy the environment even more, which is why it's so absurd and so twisted that these people would call it green in any way. It's the classic greenwashing. And instead, what these people are suggesting is fascism, which is, you know, let's just live in our fun Downton Abbey world where, you know, the workers are happy to be workers and, you know, we love to serve the boss. And now the boss gets all of the money that the working class has through pension funds and whatever else money they can get through the global Green New Deal. And they can spend it on these projects. And so naturally, of course, the people who own the patents for these projects, such as carbon capture and underground storage, are the richest people on planet Earth. Bill Gates owns carbon capture patent and intellectual property. So do institutions like Harvard. And when it comes to, you know, these crazy geoengineering schemes that are suggested by Gates, you know, you can expect at least a couple of these articles a week about, will dimming the sun stop climate change, where they suggest, you know, crazy conspiracy theory chemtrails, more or less, where they suggest blasting sulfur into the sky to reflect the sun. You know, who owns the intellectual property to that horrible idea of spraying sulfur in the sky? Well, that's Bill Gates. So it's really just another scam to get the people who are, you know, naturally upset about climate change, naturally want something to be done about it, but instead will turn that into massive profits for the ruling class and continue to destroy the environment, because that's what is what capitalism is built upon. It's just the endless exploitation of nature, the endless exploitation of workers, the endless exploitation of the planet. And then, you know, what are you going to do with a system based on infinite growth within a finite system? It's going to collapse. So unfortunately, we have to take a short commercial break, but we'll be right back after that.
What are you listening to there, buddy?
Oh, hello. Didn't see you there. I'm listening to Moonchild.
I love Moonchild, and I see they're playing the Biltmore November 10th. Are you going?
I might. I haven't gotten tickets yet, but...
Hey, have you ever been curious about the intersection between art and science? Then come check out Collisions Festival, an art science festival happening at Vivo Media Arts Center from November 8th to 10th. This year, we'll explore the theme of invasive systems through collaborative art science works. The festival will feature visual art, multimedia installations, and interactive experiences, including a robot arm that creates paintings. Student prices are available. That's November 8th to 10th at Vivo Media Arts Center. For tickets and more information, visit curiositycollider.com.
What's up, everybody? We're back. You're listening to the Spencer Latu Show. So before I sign off, I guess the grand point here to take away is that, you know, the same tried and true tactics of, you know, you have fake left media putting out nonstop praise and of course, you know, unfortunately, people are unwilling to look into the history of these people, and people will get emotionally invested in these people as, and because that's the point. The point is that they are brands. They're not even human beings that are accountable to their constituency, especially in the case of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. You know, she's nobody in the Bronx. You know, she's nobody in Queens. She's nobody in New York. It's just a complete AstroTurf campaign that's paid for by the most powerful people on earth. In her case, Pierre Omidyar, the eBay billionaire. And in the case of the fake environmental movement and fake environmental NGOs, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation that fund these things. And they'll use the exact same font. So I'll be posting pictures where you can see that Leah Gazin, the indigenous woman member of parliament that in this article by APTN, are comparing her to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She has the same signage as her, the Green New Deal yellow and black font on the yellow cloth. The same stuff that was done in the Sunrise Movement in Dianne Feinstein's office in California is being done in the House of Commons in Ottawa, right? So it's just the same rinse and repeat tactics of the same people funded by the same with the same goals of the global Green New Deal, while faking it the same way, pretending that it's grassroots and suckering people that who aren't politically knowledgeable, who aren't politically active, and who don't have that history to understand that, you know, there's total lies surrounding all of this. So, and as somebody that was, you know, I'm not saying that I fully wholeheartedly believed it, but I was at least, you know, tacitly supportive of these people. What I would recommend is, you know, ask somebody that's been around longer than you, you know, ask somebody that's been, you know, following politics for at least 10 years longer than you have, and you can learn a lot. So, I'm very lucky. I'm on Twitter. I'm always informed by people who have great knowledge about these subjects. You know, people who are on, you know, willing to push back against narratives that have been put out by the fake left media. And of course, there's, you know, journalists like Corey Morningstar that have a blog of 10 years worth of, you know, detailed analysis of every single foundation, corporation, bank, politician, every campaign that has been put together, that you can see for yourself. Hey, here's a model. It's being repeated. It's the same people. It's the same, quote unquote, journalists in the mainstream media propping these people up. It's the same foundation funded left media, like The Nation, like the Democracy Now, that are putting out these pro global Green New Deal. All this pro global Green New Deal material. So, I mean, I cannot stress that enough. Is just please learn, you know, as much as important as Marxist history. A friend of mine told me, you know, history might be more important, and I couldn't stress that enough, because if you just understood the history of it, you wouldn't really need to understand, you know, highfalutin theoretical. You don't need that theoretical understanding, because you could just see it for yourself. You could just it'll all make sense when you see the same tactics being tried over and over and again. And then you get, you know, some great insights which were passed down to me, saying that, you know, the reason why it's the same is because, you know, they're socially engineering these people to believe this stuff. So, right. So if there wasn't a climate march 2K 2014 with Obama at it, well, there couldn't be a climate march in 2019 with Justin Trudeau at it. You know, if Ben and Jerry's wasn't sponsoring, you know, Dakota Access Pipeline protests, then it would look kind of silly that, you know, Patagonia is sponsoring a climate strike protest, even though Patagonia is so sustainable that they have kids making those clothes. So we all need to give ourselves a deep dive into this subject, because there's going to be a whole lot more of a propaganda blitz regarding the global Green New Deal, because the secret is out, unfortunately, because with a few quick Google searches, you can find out for yourself that the global Green New Deal is complete ecofascism, and is just the maintenance of the status quo while pretending that it's quote unquote green. So, with that, that's all the time I have for today. So if you want to hear more, please check out the Spencer Latu Show on CITR.ca. I also put these up on Apple's iTunes podcasts. As well, I have a few interviews on SoundCloud, so Spencer Latu on SoundCloud. And if you want to get at me, it's Spencer Latu on Twitter. Thank you so much for listening, and there's going to be some more great programming on CITR later. Good night.